This is the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast, presented by Massage Envy, featuring interviews, analysis, and feature stories on Arkansas football. Now, from Fayetteville, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
The stats keep adding up for the Razorbacks, and they're not the good ones. 5 straight losses, 16 straight SEC losses, and a 4-16 overall record for Chad Morris.
How are you?
Not great, Bob.
Now the Razorbacks have a chance to get back in the win column against the Bulldogs from Mississippi State.
We're going to win this football game this week, and whoever we feel like is the best opportunity for us to win that game is first and foremost who we're going with.
If the Razorbacks are going to break those streaks, they will have to do something that hasn't been done since November 5th, 2016. Win an SEC game at home. For Whole Hog Sports, I'm Seth Campbell, and this is the Whole Hog Football Podcast. On today's show, we'll talk about how the Razorbacks achieved a feat during the Alabama game that hasn't been done since 2013. We'll also talk to Mississippi State beat writer Tyler Horka about the Bulldogs. Then, we'll wrap it up talking about Chad Morris's hot seat in the Razorback Roundtable. But first, a word from our sponsor, Massage Envy. Massage Envy, voted the top day spa in all of Northwest Arkansas, now is even better with the addition of Jan Marini and Obagi skincare services and products. These exciting new lines are provided, as well as a serum-infused microdermabrasion and chemical peels. Our face is one of the most important features that we have. Proper skincare services and products will enhance and protect your face, while the benefits, well, they could extend a lifetime. No matter your gender, come by either clinic in Rogers or Fayetteville today for your introductory session. The Razorbacks achieved a feat against Alabama that hasn't been done since 2013. They completed one pass to a wide receiver. Treylon Burks caught a 15-yard pass from Starkel in the first quarter. After that, the only completed passes went to Rakeem Boyd, Devwal Whaley, and CJ O'Grady. The last time that happened was in 2013, when the Razorbacks were playing South Carolina in Fayetteville. Spurrier and the Gamecocks rolled into Fayetteville ranked number 14 in the nation, and they were on their way to an 11-2 record that year. Meanwhile, the Hogs, they were struggling. After winning the first 3 games of the year, the Razorbacks had lost 3 straight, and they were on their way to losing another 6 games to make it 9 straight losses in 2013. In their game against the Gamecocks, though, the Razorbacks scored first off of a run by freshman Alex Collins.
Big hole off the right side. Collins, touchdown, Arkansas.
But that was all for the Razorbacks, as the Gamecocks laid it on the Hogs after that.
Davis cuts it back. That'll be a quick touchdown. A one-play drive to the end zone. Open. Ellington. Touchdown. South Carolina. Shaw going deep. Looking for Demir Byrd. Has it. Touchdown. 45 yards.
When it was all said and done, the Gamecocks rolled the Razorbacks 52-7. And if you look back at the stats, only 3 people caught passes. 2 running backs and 1 wide receiver. Javonte Herndon was the receiver that caught a pass, and he went for 20 yards. But the lack of passing is somewhat understandable in Brett Bielema's offense. Dan Enos had not yet arrived on campus, and the Razorbacks, well, they tried to grind the game out on the ground. The Morris offense is different, which is why it's surprising that only one receiver came down with a pass in their game against Alabama. Inconsistent quarterback play has factored into the Razorbacks' offense all season, and against a talented Alabama defense, the Hogs struggled getting the ball to the wide receivers. With 4 games left in the season, Morris said they're going to try and win this game against Mississippi State. But with the way John Stephen Jones played last week against Alabama, I would expect him to get in the game sometime. With only 4 games left, KJ Jefferson also figures to be a part of the Arkansas offense. Offensive coordinator Joe Craddock said that he is continuing to develop at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a really good job since the bye week. He's really done some good things. Since really that week, every week he's progressing, every week he's learning. Again, I think I mentioned this last week or week before, he's been in every one of my meetings and listening, and answering questions. So he's doing a really good job, and I think he's really developing himself and getting ready.
Whoever the Hogs go with, progress needs to be made if the Hogs want to win their first SEC game in 17 tries.
Massage Envy, with clinics in Rogers and Fayetteville, has been awarded Northwest Arkansas's Best Day Spa and Best Massage. One of the reasons is our care for athletes, both serious and recreational. We now offer rapid tension relief sessions using a high-caliber vibrating tool and total body stretch sessions like the ones used by the PGA. Both of these new services can be combined with the always popular deep muscle treatment. So whether you compete or just want to relax, there is no place better than Massage Envy.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Oh yeah, for sure. We got some little chip on our shoulder going this week, because they didn't have no respect for us, so we ain't got no respect for them.
That's wide receiver Mike Woods on getting some revenge against Mississippi State after the Razorbacks' 52-6 loss last year. Welcome back into the Whole Hog Football Podcast. We are joined now by Tyler Horka, Mississippi State beat writer for the Clarion Ledger. All right, Tyler, this is a battle of the hot seat coaches in Fayetteville between Mississippi State head coach Joe Moorhead and Arkansas head coach Chad Morris. Moorhead is 3-5 and 1-4 in conference this year, so I pose this question to you. How hot is his seat in Starkville?
It's as hot as it's ever been, and probably with reason, but he keeps saying, yeah, we went 8-4 last year, and 4-4 in conference, and we did some good things last year. But I mean, he said it himself too, it's sort of an instant gratification society, in the sense that people want results and they want them fast. And when you're 1-4 in SEC play, and there's probably a couple games there that you could have won, people are going to want more results. They're going to want better results. And the fact that Mississippi State did go to Tennessee and lost 20-10 in a game that the Bulldogs really didn't even look prepared for, and starting quarterback Garrett Schrader said it himself, we probably thought we were more prepared than we really were. Those are the types of things that you don't want players saying, because that falls back on coaches. It's the coach's job to prepare players for that type of game, and they weren't prepared. So with each loss, there's more pressure that mounts on Moorhead, for sure.
Morris has been preaching about looking to the future with recruiting classes in Fayetteville, and he brought in a decent one in his first year. Is there any kind of light at the end of the tunnel for Moorhead and Mississippi State as far as recruiting goes?
I think that's the interesting thing, and that's the thing that fans are getting a little weary of, is that, like I said earlier, Moorhead does keep pointing to last year and said, hey, we were 8-4. We were ranked for most of the year, but the thing about it is, they were 8-4, and they could have probably been 9-3 or 10-2, because they had one of the best defenses in the country. Three of those guys were first-round picks in this past year's NFL draft. Lost all of those guys, and the guys who have had to replace them obviously haven't been as good. Mississippi State has big-time defensive issues. We saw it last week against Texas A&M at giving up 49 points. The recruiting class is about the same as it was last year. It's hovering around that number 20, number 25, ranking in 24/7's composite ranking. So, I mean, the players who are coming in, Mississippi State's ceiling in recruiting is always going to be, a little tempered, because, I mean, it's Mississippi State. The revenue isn't what it is at other SEC schools, and there's not as much money to be spent on recruiting. And, I mean, you're going to be happy getting 3-star guys and the occasional 4-star guy. But, that's the kind of thing that's kind of perplexing about this whole situation is, Moorhead keeps saying, look what we did last year, but he's not saying, look what we're going to do in the future.
You mentioned he has a big task filling in for players that have left through the NFL draft or graduating. One of those players was his quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald, last year. How have the quarterbacks played filling in for Fitzgerald this year?
Yeah, the quarterback situation has not been what everybody forecasted back in August. Tommy Stevens was a graduate transfer who came down from Penn State. Obviously, Moorhead was the offensive coordinator at Penn State for two seasons in 2016 and 2017. Everybody thought that Tommy Stevens in his last year of eligibility was going to be the guy that kind of makes Mississippi State's offense what Joe Moorhead wants it to be, with that RPO look and really efficient passing, quick passes to the perimeter, and the occasional deep shot. Well, it's kind of been a cluster at this point, because Stevens played the first game and he played really well in the first game, played the first half of the second game and was even better. I mean, he was almost perfect against Southern Miss in that game, but then he got injured on the first drive of the second half. And I mean, he's been injury prone ever since then. He's tried to play a couple games. The last time we saw him was against Auburn, and he just didn't look right in the first two drives of that game. Went through and out both times. Turns out he suffered a lower body injury in that game, and that was kind of what spelled doom for him for the rest of the season. And Garrett Schrader, a true freshman, has played every time that Tommy Stevens has had to come out of a game because of injuries. Schrader has stepped in the second half and performed pretty well. He started three games now, and you know, he looks like a true freshman. He's unpolished at times, and you know, his completion percentage isn't what Moorhead would like it to be. Part of that is because the offensive line hasn't been able to protect him as much as Moorhead would like. But at the end of the day, Schrader is a true freshman. I think the one thing that, or maybe two things that kind of separates him, is he has a lot of heart. You've probably seen that helicopter play against Kansas State when he went spiraling up in the air. I think anybody who's a fan of college football has probably seen that. And he can also really run. I mean, he's got over 500 yards now, and he hasn't even started all of these games. I mean, if he was the starter in every single game, he'd already be pushing 1,000. So, you know, he's got good size. He can run. He just needs to polish the arm, and he'll probably be a pretty good SEC quarterback.
A lot of what you're saying right now is awfully familiar to Razorback fans that are listening. These are two programs that seem to be following a similar trajectory this year. Mississippi State has been able to pull out an SEC victory over Kentucky, but besides that, these two programs seem to be following the same path. Going back to losing some players on the defensive side, you mentioned earlier that Mississippi State had one of, if not the best defense in the SEC last year, and then they lost a ton of guys in the draft or had some people graduate. How has the defense held up this year?
Yeah, one thing I want to go back to on that last question. I said the last time we've seen Stevens was the Auburn game. He actually played the first half against Tennessee. Mississippi State failed to score a touchdown in that first half, only a field goal. Schrader came in the second half, as he has pretty much all year, and we've seen Schrader ever since. But as for the defense, yeah, I mean, anytime you lose three guys to the NFL draft, and three first-rounders, by the way, Jeffrey Simmons, Montez Sweat, and Jonathan Abram were all first-round guys. I mean, the defense just isn't going to look the same as it did the year before. It hasn't been terrible. I think a lot of the offensive issues have sort of compounded the defensive issues. I mean, we've seen Mississippi State not be able to sustain drives on offense, throws the defense back out there, and they've just been kind of getting overrun up front for Mississippi State on defense. The defensive line, it is really young. They start two redshirt freshmen there in the middle at tackle. There's a pretty good edge rusher in Chauncey Rivers, but he only has two sacks this season, and that's been a big problem for Mississippi State's defense. The secondary is actually pretty good. It's ravaged by injuries right now. Starting quarterback Maurice Smitherman is out for the season. He underwent ACL surgery. The other starting cornerback, Cameron Dantzler, is also injured. He missed last week's game. It's questionable for this week's game. So with all the problems Arkansas does have at quarterback, they might be facing a pretty beat-up secondary. So that's one thing the Razorbacks have going for them. And like I said, Mississippi State hasn't been able to generate much pressure on quarterbacks this season too. So that's another favorable thing for the Razorbacks.
You say that Mississippi State hasn't been able to generate pressure this year, but that seems to be Arkansas's kryptonite, is their offensive line play. So with that being said, what weakness do you think the Bulldogs' defense is going to try and attack against Arkansas?
Yeah, I think it starts with a few linebackers for Mississippi State. Errol Thompson leads the team in tackles, and he was a preseason all-SEC type of guy. Hasn't really had the season that he would like, but I think that's just because there's really nobody else on Mississippi State's defense who can kind of help him out and, you know, take a little pressure off of his shoulders. But, you know, look for Errol Thompson to have a big game. We haven't talked about the suspensions that Mississippi State's been dealing with this year, but because those are really tricky to talk about. And with the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act, it's kind of hard to say some of the things that Mississippi State has been dealing with. But bottom line is, before the season started, the NCAA ruled that a certain amount of players, 10 players, would be suspended for a certain amount of games. That's something that we don't know. That's never been specified, the amount of games. But Joe Moorhead does have the discretion of when to play those players. And Willie Gay is a linebacker, a junior linebacker for State that has only played in 2 games this year. And the general consensus, this is not an official number, is that he's allowed to play in 4 games this year, meaning he has 2 left to play. And it would really make sense to play him against Arkansas. It's a game that Mississippi State needs to win. It's a game that Mississippi State thinks it can win. So look for Willie Gay to play linebacker for Mississippi State this week. And one of the games that he did play this year, the Kentucky game, which Mississippi State won, obviously, he had a pick 6 on his first snap of the game. So he's a difference maker, and I expect him to play this weekend too.
You said this is a game that Mississippi State needs to win. Tyler, before I let you go here, is this a must-win game for head coach Joe Moorhead?
Absolutely, it's a must-win, because if you lose it, there you are sitting with your 6th loss of the season, and you do get a bye week to kind of think about things and correct things. But coming out of that bye week, you have to play Alabama, and that's pretty much, you can sharpie in a 7th loss right there. And with 7 losses, you're not bowl eligible, and that would be the first time in 10 years that Mississippi State is not bowl eligible. So for a guy like Joe Moorhead to come in and in his second season, you know, snap a streak that Dan Mullen went to, you know, 8 straight bowl games, and Moorhead got to one last year, but to snap it in your second season, not what Mississippi State fans are looking for. It's not what the program is looking for. You know, this is a program that expects to be in bowl games every year, even if it is at a 6-6 record. And for Moorhead not to get it, that'd be a total letdown. And I wouldn't say it would be grounds for firing. Maybe losing to Ole Miss and going 4-8 would be grounds for firing. But he's not doing himself any favors if Mississippi State loses this game.
All right, Tyler, you dropped some great knowledge. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Yep, thank you guys for having me.
That's Tyler Horko, writer for the Clarion Ledger. Make sure to check out his stuff online on the Clarion Ledger website.
Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. One reason is our great therapists and estheticians. Due to increased demand with our new services in both massage and skincare, Massage Envy is now looking for talented, licensed providers to join our great team. A competitive compensation package and family-like environment are just some of the reasons our providers have worked nearly 10 years with Massage Envy. Looking for a great career? Come by our clinics in Rogers or Fayetteville and apply today. Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Season now. Coach Moore said new season starts today. So,
Razorback offensive lineman Dalton Wagner on Arkansas' sense of urgency this week in practice. Welcome into the Whole Hog Football Podcast Roundtable time. We're going to have Scotty Borderline, Tom Murphy, and Matt Jones joining us today on the roundtable. And all right, guys, first things first, I would love to start off the podcast by not asking about the quarterbacks. But here we are, game 9, and the most pressing question is, who is going to start under center at quarterback for the Razorbacks? So we'll start with you, Scotty. Who do you think gives the Razorbacks the best chance to win under center?
I don't know. And I think if Arkansas's coaches knew who gave them the best shot to win at the quarterback position, they would have said it yesterday. But Chad Morris flatly said that, you know, he doesn't have – kind of like John Chavis said a couple weeks ago, he doesn't have answers defensively. Chad and Craddock yesterday on Monday said that they just, you know, they don't know who that guy is at quarterback right now. And that's just an awful position to be in. You're going into the last month of your second season and the quarterback position is kind of it's definitely been, you know, the black mark on the staff to this point. You know, if I had to guess, I would say that they probably start Ben Hicks on Saturday. They gave him last week off, I think, to kind of heal that left shoulder injury that he had against Auburn. You know, I think John Stephen Jones did a pretty good job, particularly with the read option the other day against Alabama. But the lack of a downfield passing threat, I think, might keep him off the field. You know, if they are, you know, they said on Monday that they are going in, they're going in to win the game. They're not going to win the game. I think Ben Hicks is, I would be kind of surprised if Ben Hicks doesn't start, but I too expect to see KJ Jefferson in this game too.
Yeah, I think Hicks is the most likely guy to start just because of the full comprehensive knowledge of the package. And I think John Stephen Jones has a limited amount of packages at his disposal right now. And the key part being that you have to make the safeties honor the deeper, you know, beyond 10 yards. And I think with him in the game, they can really afford to come up and, you know, cheat up and try to clog run lanes. And also Mississippi State will have practiced what he has done. Now, he read them. He read the RPOs very well the other day, and it showed in how long he waited to make the handoffs. And they had that really nice drive in the second quarter with Whaley and Boyd kind of taking turns there and ripping off runs of 7 and 9 and 5, just 1-1-1. And then I think Jones had a run. But anyway, Nick Starkel has had ample opportunity to run the offense since the Colorado State win, which was the apex of his season so far. And I think since the San Jose State game with the 5 picks, I mean, Joe Craddock even said it yesterday that one hurt his confidence, and he's been trying to get it back. Not everything has been his fault. I mean, one of the picks last week, the pick six, he had immediate pressure from a linebacker. And I'm talking about probably a second and a half after he got the snap, a linebacker was in his mug. And the play had been open earlier to Whaley, but this time Trevon Diggs read it, and it was a pick six. So I think we're going to see John Stephen Jones, and I don't know how much, but I think we will see KJ Jefferson. I'm certain we're going to see KJ Jefferson some throughout the rest of the season. And I don't know if that means extensive playing time, but it means playing time. And I don't know if the packages will be limited, but Chad Moore said it himself last week. This offense is at its best when the quarterback is mobile and the quarterback is a running threat. And so that's the direction they have to trend in.
So kind of building off of that, the question, I guess, going back to both of you, does Chad Morris need that mobile quarterback to run his offense? We'll start with you, Scotty.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he said as much, I think, the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's funny, we think of Ben Hicks kind of being the least athletic of the quarterbacks, but he's shown more ability to pull the ball and try to get to the edge and pick up first downs and some added yardage than, you know, even Nick Starkel has. I mean, Ben has escaped pressure in the pocket when the pocket's collapsed, and like the Texas A&M game, he did that, had a big run, and then Kentucky, he showed more of the same. Nick Starkel has not done that, on top of, you know, just being wildly inaccurate, and, you know, just being kind of careless with the football at times. But, you know, the offense moved smoothly for the most part the other night. And I understand the ball game was out of hand when John Stephen took over for the most part in the second half. But the offense moved pretty fluidly. Wasn't much of a, like I said, wasn't – Arkansas didn't pass the ball very well. I think 6 of John Stephen Jones' 7 passes were – behind the line of scrimmage, so the downfield passing game's not really there with him. But, you know, in the past when they've had success, they have had mobile quarterbacks, and I think they've got to have that.
Yeah, the short answer is for the run-pass options to work, the quarterback has to be a run threat. And when he is, it gives you other dimensions to your offense. So the future of the offense needs to be guys like KJ Jefferson. And can Chandler Morris run? he can run, right?
Looks like he can in high school.
And so, and John Stevens showed he was plucky and gritty, and he ran the other night. So, but I do think Hicks is going to start the game, and then we'll see how it goes from there. I would have a very short leash, two drives, and if he hasn't done much of anything, I would try John Stevens for a series and then just kind of play it from there.
What do you think, Matt? Does Chad Morris need a mobile quarterback to have his offense work effectively?
I don't think so. I think he needs a good offensive line. I mean, I think that's their biggest problem right now. It doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. The offensive line's got to be able to block for him. And, you know, I think that's one of the big, you know, one of the big problems I think you're seeing with their offense right now is that their quarterback, when they're throwing the ball, they're not throwing it accurately. But on a lot of plays, I think those inaccurate passes are maybe a byproduct of having to rush their throws a little bit. To compensate for the poor line play. So, you know, I think it would probably help if they had a mobile quarterback because it gives you some other options, you know, in that regard. But I think that, you know, the biggest problem with this offense right now is its line play, not its quarterback, not its receiver, tight end, running back, anything like that. You've got to have a good offensive line play to be able to play good offense. Everything kind of starts from the inside out. A lot of teams want to build an outside in. And, you know, right now that offensive line play is really bad.
I will say, too, a mobile quarterback might be able to compensate for some of the collapses that an offensive line might have. But, I tend to agree with Matt there, too.
Well, talking about from outside in, the wide receivers, you know, Arkansas brought in these talented wide receivers or freshmen, and only one true wide receiver caught a pass in the Alabama game. It was Treylon Burks, and it was only one. How can the Razorbacks get their young wide receivers the ball more, Tom?
You got to throw let's say if John Stevens is in there, you got to throw those screens to him. And what they've suffered at is blocking on the edges. And like last year, there was several plays where Jared Cornelius was the blocker and he just whiffed and they got tackled for losses out there. But they got to have tunnel screens. And Ben Hicks has got to be accurate in the intermediate range passes, which is started by good protection. So, they struggled to throw the ball over the middle last week. Alabama did a good job of when it was time for Starkle to deliver, they stopped their pass rush and jumped and batted down passes. So slants, these Mississippi State cornerbacks are banged up and they're not as good as Alabama's cornerbacks. So slants, and they got to try to throw deep at least a couple times a game to move the safeties.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I agree with Tom. I think back to Bobby Petrino's first year at Arkansas. They didn't have great line play. That was the year that Mitch Petras couldn't play, and that was a big blow to their offensive line that year. But, my God, what did Bobby Petrino do? He threw slants and crossing routes at teams probably 60-70% of the time, and teams couldn't stop it, and teams still can't stop that kind of offense. And I don't think we see enough of that out of this offense, you know, those just short, quick passes. And, you know, I think if they incorporate more of those into their game plan, I think they're going to be able to move the ball better. And I think that compensates for some of that poor line play that we talked about. So, you know, part of it has, I think, I'm not going to say this is the problem with Arkansas, but I think any good coach is able to adapt to the personnel that he has and the types of defenses that they're seeing. And I will guarantee you that these coaches are seeing a different kind of defense right now in the SEC than they were seeing in the American Conference. And what I've not seen just a whole lot of is adaptation to that. And so, you know, I think that's going to, you know, kind of in some respects, that's going to determine how long they're able to coach in this conference is going to be their adaptation to what they're seeing and maybe, you know, tweaking that offense a little bit. I'm not going to say they haven't done that, but I don't see just a whole lot different what they're doing right now than what I saw when they were struggling this time last year.
Yeah, going back to Matt mentioned when Bobby Petrino was here, you know, guys like Joe Adams and Jarius Wright and Greg Childs, you know, a lot of those guys were really good. And when you put them in space and on those crossing routes, Joe Adams and Jarius Wright made their hay, like on those crossing routes, get them in space. They can beat guys one-on-one and pick up yards after catch. And I think what Arkansas's got to go to in the passing game, when like the numbers that I've got just from charting all the quarterbacks' throws, they've not been very efficient throwing the ball down the field. They've been best on like the short to intermediate, even the passes at behind the line of scrimmage. Get those guys the ball quick, make it a little bit easier on your offensive line. I think batted down balls have been an issue, but I think the offensive line's got to do a better job of, like Joe Craddock said, kind of cutting down the defensive linemen. You know, if you can get the ball out quick to guys like Treylon Burks. I mean, we saw it the other night. He took a 1 yard reception and turned it into a 15 yard gain just because he's got the ability to make guys miss. So I think you need to see, you know, more of the slants, you know, maybe the quick comeback routes, the crossing routes, like Matt said, screen game. Running backs were pretty good in the screen game too. So I expect them to go to that a little bit more.
You know, like Matt was saying, you got all of these elite talent and you got to kind of adapt and find ways to get them the ball. And, you know, Treylon Burks only touching the ball once out of a wide receiver position doesn't seem like it's advantageous for the Razorbacks. All right, moving on. Let's kind of start now previewing Mississippi State. It seems to be the most winnable conference game left on the Razorbacks' schedule. They've got LSU and Missouri along with State. What do you think the Hogs need to do? What are some keys to the Razorbacks pulling out a victory against the Bulldogs, Matt?
Can they recruit a new offensive line before the start of the game? I mean, I know that a lot of people talk about this being their most winnable game left, and it probably is given how Mississippi State has played over the last 5 or 6 weeks. But Arkansas's got a lot of problems. They're going into the ninth game of the year. They aren't settled on quarterback. You know, you could make an argument for starting any one of four quarterbacks in this game, and that really speaks to some issues. At offensive line, they're going to start another offensive line combination, most likely, against Mississippi State. Their two left guards right now, Austin Capps and
Kirby Adcock.
Yeah, Adcock. I was going blank there for a minute. You know, their two left guards are both going through concussion protocol. There's no guarantee that either of them will play. Chad Morris said that Adcock was doubtful for the game. Of course, Colton Jackson, you know, left the program because of the injuries that he suffered. You know, so a lot of issues on the offensive line, a lot of issues at quarterback. When you're having issues in those two positions, if you're even having it at one of those two areas, you're probably in some trouble, and they're having it at both of them. And that doesn't speak really well to beating a team that they lost to by 46 points last year. You don't lose to a team by 46 just because. It usually speaks to a pretty big discrepancy in talent between those two teams. And I know Mississippi State lost some players from last year, Fitzgerald and Montez Sweet and Jeffrey Simmons and some of those guys, but they've still got some really good players. They got the league's best running back, or at least, you know, statistically, the best running back in the league in Kylan Hill. They've got a true freshman quarterback who is playing at a pretty good level over the last couple of weeks. And they've still got a lot of defenders, guys like Leo Lewis and Chauncey Rivers on the edge, you know, guys who are still, you know, were part of that really great Mississippi State defense for 2 years. And so it's Arkansas's most winnable game on the conference schedule just because Missouri and LSU are better teams. But by no means do I think that, you know, Arkansas is going to show up and just win the game on Saturday. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble to beat Mississippi State.
What do you think, Scotty?
Yeah, I think, you know, turnovers really killed Arkansas at Alabama. Arkansas probably would have lost the game even if they had not turned the ball over as many times as they did. But I think you got to go into this game just with a major emphasis on taking care of the ball. As challenged as this offense has been, and I think I even called it constipated at one point last week, they cannot afford to – have possessions in which they, you know, they turn the ball over before they can sustain a drive. Or if they sustain a drive, you can't turn the ball over in the end zone like they've done several times. I think Nick Starr was throwing four picks in the end zone or in the red zone this year. And when you get to the red zone, you got to cash in. So I think playing clean offensively is a big thing. And then you obviously, like John Chavis put it, said it pretty pointedly on Monday, that, you know, Mississippi State's running game is their strength. And Kylan Hill, like Matt says, the league's leading rusher. Garrett Schrader, I read in Brandon Langlois' notes the other day, Garrett Schrader is one of two Power 5 quarterbacks with 1,000 yards passing and 500 rushing. The other is Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good company to be in. They've got to limit those guys and make Schrader throw the ball down the field. I think he's got four picks in his last three games, so those would be my keys.
It's really good company to be in, too, considering that Schrader didn't start their first, what, three, four games of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so he's really played at a high level for the last month or so.
Yeah, he's just trickled over into 505 yards, but I think he averages 5.5 yards a carry, which is really solid when you throw the stacks in. With all due respect to Bob Holt and his alma mater, Missouri, I would say that it's about 50-50 on which one's more winnable, Mississippi State or Missouri at the end of the year in Little Rock. Now, we don't know what the state of mind of the teams are going to be at that point. But Missouri could be fighting for a bowl berth. Who knows? And anyway, the key parts Arkansas has to deliver on this week are maintaining the edge. Don't let Garrett Schrader beat you. I think they've been pretty good between the tackles. It's just the edge stuff. Not fitting, the linebackers flowing and not fitting. The DBs not being able to come up and be forceful. I mean, Greg Brooks is a – I think he's going to develop and be a good player, but he's gotten washed out on way too many edge runs this year at the nickelback. Just got to be stronger. And I would say keeping Kylan Hill from, you know, blowing up between the tackles and then both of those guys, Schrader and Hill, on the edge is the biggest thing. And then on the other side of the ball, I'll just say being consistent, not turning the ball over. And Ben Hicks has driven the team actually fairly well in his drives the last three, four games. It's just capping them off. They got to come up with more creative ways to score down in the red zone where it's been a struggle all season.
All right, guys. Continuing on with only the four games left, there's a lot of younger guys that are going to get an opportunity to play in these upcoming games. The, you know, if they haven't played yet, they can play all four games and not burn that their year so they can still redshirt. What are, I guess, a few of the guys that y'all are most intrigued about or interested in this, I guess, four games, some of the younger guys? We'll start with you, Scotty.
I think it's kind of obvious. I think it's KJ Jefferson because he's the guy that we ha- he's the one guy that we really haven't seen at the quarterback position, and that's the position that's, you know, got everyone up in arms because the play has been so subpar to this point. You know, Joe Craddock has said that he's been, you know, kind of quizzing KJ Jefferson just about intricacies of the offense and all of the meetings over the last few weeks, and you know he says he's doing a pretty good job and he's progressing, and they've even worked on his you know, the mechanics with his throwing motion and his footwork and, you know, opening his hips and all that kind of stuff, not bending at the waist when he releases the ball too. So they've been doing, it sounds like they've been doing a lot of detailed work with him. And so I'd kind of like to see that on the playing field, you know, when it matters. You know, I guess defensively, I think this week there was maybe a little bit of a surprise on the depth chart. I think Malik Chavis is the second team cornerback behind Jarquez McClellan. McClellan was, I think, pulled in the second half the other night and in favor of Brito Tutt. And then Brito Tutt comes in and first drive he's in there, he gets beat on a deep ball for a touchdown. So maybe a guy like Malik Chavis, you know, I'm a South Arkansas kid. He's a South Arkansas kid. I like to watch those guys play. So we'll see if he gets in.
Yeah, he's a tall, angular type kid that if he develops could be the kind of cornerback you want to continue to recruit because of his length. I would also agree with him on KJ Jefferson. It seems as if everything coming out of the team now is that they're going to have packages for him these last four games. What we saw in camp and in the practices we see, the limited amount, is that his accuracy is just, you know, it's not – he's a freshman, and his accuracy needs improvement. And so everything coming at him so fast is going to be where the tale is told. You can do all the prep you want, but he's got to see stuff pre-snap, anticipate what's coming at him, and then make the proper reads and adjustments after the snap. But the ability to run is intriguing, and I want to see that. Also, Jalen Catalon has just been a mystery. The way he's been used, it's a couple of the end of games, I think like on a kickoff. And so I think he might only have one game left. So the thing is, if you really liked him that much, you should have played him more in the games that he got in. And so he looked so good in camp during a couple of the scrimmages or team periods that I'm just at a loss as to why his usage was like it was. So he's one more that I guess he's got one game. That or you just say, we're just going to play him the rest of the year, and I don't think they're at that point. So those are my guys.
If Jefferson's going to play, he's got a swing pass. Otherwise, teams are going to know what's coming whenever he comes into a game. And, you know, the big issue with him, I think, in practice has been his footwork. And, you know, Joe Craddock said this a few weeks back. He said, you know, most people look at quarterback play and they're most worried and focused on the upper body. Well, your lower body is really where your mechanics come from. And, you know, he said KJ Jefferson's has not been very consistent, I think was the word that he used in practice. You know, Jefferson, John Stephen Jones, how much are those two going to get to play? The two players I'm most interested in, though, are Amonte Spivey at running back and Hudson Henry at tight end, two highly recruited guys.
Two buzz names.
Yeah, but because – but I'm interested in them because next year – C.J. O'Grady's going to be gone at tight end. And there's a good chance, I think, or maybe a decent chance that Rakeem Boyd could be gone, depending on what kind of grade he gets back from the NFL draft advisory. And so who's going to step in at those two positions? Right now, they don't really have a playmaker at tight end outside of O'Grady. And at running back, Whaley will be gone next year. We said Boyd could potentially be gone. All signs seem to indicate that Chase Hayden may be gone at the end of this year based on, you know, the amount of usage that he's had. So who's going to step up at running back next season? They've got to have some players that step up and produce at those positions. And they have to get experience in these types of games. It's great to get them practice and great to get them in scrimmages and whatnot. But what I thought, Alabama could have hung 80 on Arkansas the other night had it wanted to. But what Nick Saban did was he made a concentrated effort to get in his second and third string guys and get them experience in that type of atmosphere playing against another SEC team that they don't know their tendencies. They don't know, you know, and that team doesn't know their abilities. And so getting guys like Spivey, Hudson Henry, there might be some other ones that I'm missing, but getting those types of skill players in the game, I think that's going to be really – it's going to be really critical to get them in some capacity. Maybe it's only for two or three plays, but getting them in, getting them just that little bit of game experience, I think will be really key for them on down the road as players. And then for this coaching staff, if it's back next year, you know, for them to know what they have moving forward.
All right. Well, it's time now. We wrap up the Whole Hog Football Podcast here. One of the last questions, guys. Matt said, if the coaching staff is back next year, we're going to play a little bit of a what if here. So we'll start with you, Tom. What does Morris have to do in these last four games for you for him to come back next year?
Well, you can't just say anything definitively on this point. But I think winning a game or two would be really important for these guys. And if you're Hunter Yurecek, I know there's a huge section of the fan base that is just upset that they didn't show progress. Their games last year, you know, if you're a hammer down guy, you got the fourth and inches against Colorado State, that if you get that first down, maybe you clinch the game. And by the way, I thought the spot was bad for LaMichael Petway. But anyway, that's another topic. Then you go for it. The punt worked out well. They punted down to the four, but it changed the momentum of the game. Colorado State won. This year, San Jose State. Why wasn't the team ready to play and beat San Jose State? Spartans were motivated. They executed well, but this is on. It was on your field. And the players should have been better motivated. The collateral issues at stake, what about ticket sales? What about corporate giving, you know? What about what happens with the roster? Do you have guys, current young players on this team who have seen enough and want to start bailing? All those things have to be taken into consideration. But it begins with winning an SEC game and beating Western Kentucky next week. I think if they go 0-4, what is the argument to keep Chad Morris and this staff on board if they're 2-10 for a second consecutive year?
There's no precedent outside of Vanderbilt in the SEC of a coach losing all of his games the first 2 years and being retained for a third year.
All of his SEC games.
All of his SEC games, yeah. And so I think they need to win an SEC game, and I don't think they can afford any type of slip-up against what I think is a pretty good Western Kentucky team who's leading its division in the Conference USA right now. Probably the best non-conference team that they're going to play all year, and they lost to San Jose State. You know, I think those are two things that you have to look for. I think you have to win an SEC game, whether it's Missouri, whether it's Mississippi State. I don't think any of us believe they've got any chance to beat LSU. And I don't think you can lose to Western Kentucky, because if you lose to Western Kentucky, then all of a sudden you've got a loss to Colorado State and North Texas and San Jose State and Western Kentucky on your resume. That doesn't look very good. And I think what Tom said, you know, I mean, there's a lot of other considerations. You know, the strength of this staff is supposed to be offense. Well, the offense hasn't shown very good. The other strength is supposed to be recruiting. Well, recruiting looks like it's kind of going downhill right now based on the number of players who have decommitted during the season. So you got to show that you can win some on the field, I think. And, you know, everybody says they remember November. Weird things happen in November when it comes to coaches. Matt Luke was a terrible interim head coach at Ole Miss, and he won a couple of games in November, including over Mississippi State when Nick Fitzgerald broke his leg, and now Ole Miss is saddled with Matt Luke for multiple seasons. And so, I mean, seriously, this is what happens. But and I'm not – that's not meant to degrade this Arkansas coaching staff at all, but what I'm saying is if you can win in November, Frank Borough's always said they remember it, and you're going to be able to, you know, probably – take that momentum into the offseason. Save your jobs. I think there'll be assistant coaching changes. I think there have to be with the staff. But I think if he can win a couple of games in November, there's no doubt he'll be back next season, because it'll be twice the number of wins they had last year, and, you know, another conference win. And it'll at least show some progress. But they can't afford to regress in November. They have to show that they can be competitive in some games. And that's been really the big issue for them, is that, you know, more often than not, when they play SEC teams, they just have not been competitive. They've got to show that they can compete with some of these SEC teams.
Yeah, these guys took all my points. yeah, they've got to win. I think they got to win an SEC game, whether it's Mississippi State, which I think we talked about earlier. I think this is probably the most likely game that they can win. It's at home. It's on homecoming. You maybe have a little bit more of an energetic, lively crowd. And then it is homecoming, so you might get 100 extra people here. But I think that you need to win either Mississippi State game or the Missouri game down in Little Rock. And you've absolutely got to win the Western Kentucky game to keep, if Chad wants to keep his job, I think.
It all starts with making the right moves at quarterback. And if these guys are the quarterback gurus, they got to make the right calls at quarterback. And there's been a couple of games this year where, particularly in the Kentucky game, that they left Starkle in the game too long. So they have to make better decisions at quarterback.
Have to make better decisions at quarterback. And we're hoping you're making the right decision by continuing listening to us here on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Well, that'll do it for our roundtable today. Thank you guys for joining us. That's Scotty Bordelon, Tom Murphy, and Matt Jones. You can read all of their stuff on wholehogsports.com. The Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast is produced and edited for Airship by me, Seth Campbell. Special shout outs to Tyler Horka, Tom Murphy, Matt Jones, and Scotty Bordelon. You can read more from Tyler Horka on the Clarion Ledger website. You can read more from Scotty, Tom, and Matt on wholehogsports.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Massage Envy. By supporting them, you are supporting us. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing and sharing is one of the best ways to let your friends know about the podcast and for us to grow and give you more podcast content. Theme music is by Silent Partners. I'm Seth Campbell from Whole Hog Sports. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you back here next week.